Welcome to Green Connections Radio, where we help you live green, work green, and earn green. I'm John Michelson, and you can find us on greenconnectionsradio.com, like us on Facebook, and follow me on Twitter at John Michelson. I'm here at the Climate Leadership Gala with Nancy Fund, the managing partner of DBL Investors, a venture capital firm focused on the double bottom line, as in DBL, doing well by doing good. Their investments include SolarCity and Tesla Motors, founded by one of tonight's Climate Leadership Gala Award winners, Elon Musk, which is pretty cool. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall, though, with you being on the board of these companies and listening to you challenge Elon Musk. That would have been really fun to listen to. So welcome to Green Connections Radio, Nancy.
Thank you so much, Joan. It's great to be here, and I'm really excited for the event tonight.
Thank you. We don't have a lot of time today, so I'm going to jump right in. What do you see are the bright spots on the double bottom line business horizon?
Well, you know, double bottom line investing for social and environmental impact has never been stronger. We've been doing this now for a little over 10 years, and it used to be we were out there in the wilderness by ourselves, and now it's a very common term. People know what DBL stands for. They understand that you don't have to sacrifice financial return to accomplish good in society and to help protect the planet.
That's great. I mean, there's a million questions I could ask you, but what are the trends that you're seeing? Where are the investors putting their money, and how can you see those trends when you have a broad portfolio?
Well, you know, I was just looking at some numbers on the flight out here, and of the 10 top stocks, the 10 top performing stocks this year so far, three of them are clean tech stocks, which is incredibly precedent setting. It's Tesla, SunPower, and SolarCity. So that's a real landmark for a milestone for our industry, that they're up there with Netflix and kind of household names. And that's just the beginning. I think we're just getting started. And what you're seeing is that in addition to voting for candidates that protect and enhance the environment and the planet, consumers are beginning to vote with their wallets and vote with their stock portfolios and choose investments and choose products that support their view of a better world. And so I think that the consumer is getting increasingly sophisticated to invest and buy products from carbon light kinds of companies.
So socially responsible investing and also considering the environment when you make a purchase. I saw a study recently by Cone Communications that 71% of consumers now consider the environment when they make a purchasing decision. What are the technologies that you see coming down the pike? What are the game changers that you see?
Well, there are a lot of them. I mean, that's the good news across various sectors. Certainly in the renewables energy space, storage is a huge a trend that's just about to start reaching the mainstream. There have been investments from the ARA period, you know, 4 years ago, and now these technologies are coming out of the lab and into their pilots, and you're going to see the incredible benefit that a few hours of storage can bring to firming renewables, to making renewable energy even more reliable and able to operate round the clock and do it at decreasing costs. And that's really going to be a game changer, because in many ways, with the cost coming down, storage is like natural gas without the fracking.
Well, and that's also going to bring down the cost of electric vehicles, which I'm sure Tesla is happy about, and so will GM, because I know that the Volt is, you know, most of that cost is batteries. Yep. Storage is a huge piece of this whole thing. What kinds of companies are you looking to invest in? Do you invest in startups? Does the company need to have generated revenue? I mean, what is the sweet spot that DBL looks at?
Well, we prefer not to invest in the proverbial engineer in the garage where he or she is just trying something completely new and technically challenging. We prefer to go in a little bit later. They don't have to have even revenues necessarily, although we prefer a little bit of traction on the market side. But they just need to have worked out some of the technical risk and be in markets that are big, growing fast, and open to disruptive new entrants.
So would you say that like having an SBIR grant, for example, or an STTR grant would be a validation of enough of a technology that you would be interested in it?
Well, it's hard to generalize, Joan, but certainly any company that has already gone through a vetting process and secured funding from some outside source that's legitimate is going to have a leg up on someone that's de novo in many cases. It's hard to generalize, though.
Right, I understand. Well, I won't keep you long, but what do you see as the portfolio of energy sources, say, in 10, 20, maybe even 50 years from now? I mean, how much do you think we're going to ever get completely off of oil and gas and coal, or do you think that that's just going to get cleaned up? Where is our energy going to come from in, say, 10 and 20, maybe even 50 years?
Well, I'd like to see the roles flipped. There's always going to be a role for fossil fuels, but it's going to be a diminishing one. They're expensive. They harm the climate. They bring extreme weather that causes devastation to our people and to our cities and neighborhoods. So we can easily flip that, and instead of renewables being in the 10 to 20%, you know, grow them over time so that they're the majority of our energy source, and we use fossil fuel for more specialized applications.
Boy, that's a long conversation. Before I let you go, as a woman in this space, you are a minority. How do we really need more women in this industry? We need the innovation. We need the diversity at the table. We can't win the economic goals with half our team on the bench. So what do we need to do to bring more women, including mid-career women? I'm not just talking about college kids who we incubate at an early age, but mid-career women too. How do we get them into this industry, attract them in, and help them get promoted?
Well, it's a lot of things that we need to do. We need to help our young women and girls in science and technology and embrace the disciplines that can help solve some of our problems and help that through the K-12 and then on into higher ed. There is a group that I'm a part of, the C3E Women in Clean Energy Ministerial that the DOE has created along with other countries around the globe. The specific goal of this program is to help mid-career women advance. And we, for example, every year, this is our second year, you can apply to win a prize in various categories if you're a mid-career woman to recognize that your accomplishments, be that in a not-for-profit, in government, in a startup company, really honoring the fact that women are out there and maybe just aren't as well known to people. And so we're trying to shine a light on that, and we're going to have a two-day conference on women in clean energy, September 19th and 20th, I think it is, or 18th and 19th, at MIT, to really delve into the whole area of women in energy and ways to improve increase our numbers.
Great. Well, you know, that's near and dear to my heart and Green Connections, and we'd love to be a part of that. I've heard of C3E before, and I really applaud the work they're doing. I think we need a whole lot more of them. But thank you so much for being here, Nancy, and for the work that you do and for the role model that you provide. Thank you for coming to Green Connections Radio, where we help you live green, work green, and earn green. You can find us online at greenconnectionsradio.com. Like us on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at Joan Michelson. Thanks again.
Thank you, Joe.